So good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Welcome to Morning Tea and Allegations, and this is your host, Petty B, otherwise known as Bianca Goolsbee. And today's episode 13, and it's titled, Where's the Lie? So there's a lot of stuff going on that I have to kind of recap you on, but we have to get started, as you know, with our church announcements. Amen, amen, amen. First of all, I just want to say I apologize. I am a couple of minutes late, and there has just been a lot going on. But first, I just want to just give a round of applause. Didn't mean to click that, Jesus, but okay. I just want to give a round of applause to my wife because, you know, she has really done some amazing things and she's made history. And if you don't know, she is now representing Florida House District 70 and she was sworn in a couple days ago. So I just want to give a shout out to my wife. Okay. And for those of you that are watching and tuning in, please say hi, say good morning. I hope that you're having a wonderful Friday. And I want to recap on a radio interview where Addison Davis was appearing. Last Saturday, he was on What's Really Happening. It's a radio show that's on WTMP every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You should definitely check it out. And the host of that show is Bishop Michelle B. Patty. So I want to kind of give you a recap of the actual conversations that were taking place on the radio, just in case you missed it, because there's a lot of key important parts that I do want to highlight with this episode. So before I do that, you always know I have to go ahead and play my disclaimers and my sponsors. So I will be right back. And yeah, let's get this show started. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsbee.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose. All right, so there's a couple of clips that I took from the radio show that I felt was important for people to know and realize that this is what Superintendent Addison Davis said on the record. Now, I just want to be very transparent here. So there's a lot of misinformation that's happening on Facebook, according to Addison Davis. So I just want to go ahead and just where I put it. Okay. So this is a receipt book. Okay. And this receipt book contains, receipts of, different agendas that the board approved and, different, financials that the board approves. And, when they were actually approved, these are called receipts. Okay. And these come from public records. You can request public records by going right to the district website. I will post the link. So if you want to request public records, okay, these are some of the items that I sent, to the board members, such as the opening tracker, which was an internal document where they were showing that some accounts were frozen before school opened and how they did not have enough clinic supplies to safely reopen schools. And so there's even, receipts about where's the money and how it kind of archives and follows the fund balance and how it would, decrease by millions every month with no questions. So we have a new board now. So this is a new opportunity for the board in Hillsborough County to be very intentional with what is on the, consent agenda, what is on the regular agenda, and actually, prepping and having conversations and reading all of the pages from start to finish to ensure that you know what it covers. And then if you have any questions, you bring that to your constituents and you bring that before the board. So that way you can hold Superintendent Addison Davis accountable for making sure that he's handling that, okay? Because there's some things that were approved, not approved, and we still have questions on that. So we still have questions on the MERV 13 filters. We've been talking about how we have MERV 13 filters in all of our schools, but yet some of our schools do not have working air condition, okay? There's some, you know, misinformation about that. But let's talk about misinformation, because that is what Addison Davis has brought forth when he went to the radio. And again, sir, I don't know who's providing misinformation. So if you would like to just let us know, I greatly appreciate it. But let's go ahead and roll the first clip.
Community, and we're about our children, about our community, and we have the one and only superintendent, and the superintendent, you know what it's like on Facebook.
Yes, ma'am.
You've been at the front of some of that, but we want to say good morning, sir, and welcome, and glad to have you with us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so very much. Bishop Patty, I appreciate you, asking me to come on and just talk about, you know, the great things we're doing in the school district. And I agree, you know, social media, one thing, it's a great avenue to connect. But so much misinformation grows legs every single day, and you know what? We just need to address it head on. How we're going to continue to band together as a community and help our children succeed. And you know, especially now in District 5, we have a new leader coming on board to help us to identify what's working, what's not, and what we can do differently. And just excited about that partnership so that we can continue to do some really special things for the children in Hillsborough County.
And you know, we're so happy to hear that, because I in my spirit, I feel like you have a working board. The new members that are coming on, I think they're going to be able to work in jail, but we, the community, need to work with the board.
Okay, so just to put the framework here, a lot of the questions that were asked of Superintendent Addison Davis was on behalf of some of the staff members of Teaching for the Culture. We actually worked with Bishop Michelle B. Patty to help her formulate questions to ask Superintendent Addison Davis. And so one of the key points that we wanted to address was the budget. Now, the budget has been a big issue in the district, especially because there has always been a way of where we want to say it was a prior administration to shield from accountability. And so we want to know clear answers on who is directly responsible for the budget shortfalls, because Jeff Akins has provided a whole report on where he left the district when he left. And then when the board was talking about, you know, Jeff Akins and his leadership, there was a whole article and, you know, a letter that was sent out by Jeff Akins to clear his name. And so now we're still blaming, you know, the prior administration, and we don't have clear answers. So here was the response when we asked about budget.
And you have come in here amidst a pandemic, a budget shortage. Now I want to talk about that budget, because the past school board member, Tamara Schamberger, said that it's your fault. Yes, it's your fault. And people saying, no, you weren't even here. And she said she didn't know what was going on. However, she was the chair of the finance committee. So how can you kind of like untangle that for us?
Yes, ma'am. And first and foremost, I'm appreciative for the hard work that Mr. Cohn and Mr. Schamberger gave for 4 years to be able to work for children. I'm grateful. However, I inherited every financial deficit that we currently have, you know. And you know, coming into to May, I signaled to the board there's a potential $50 million deficit in the fund balance. I'd only been there for 45 days, and I didn't spend any money with that. And then after we unpacked it and got to June 30th, we found out that my team got that $50 to $32 million in a hole that was from prior leadership. And then on top of that, we found that capital outlay money was being moved from $39 to $40 million annually in the last 5 years, and we can no longer do that. So now we're $72 million in the hole, and it's unattractive.
$72 million.
Yes, ma'am.
In the hole.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's in the red.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't have it.
Well, no, ma'am. We're down in our fund balance. So that means that we have to make some hard decisions. Mm-hmm. I would have never came in through a pandemic and had to shuffle teachers and cut positions. No superintendent in the world wants to do that. But in order for me to make payroll for over 24,000 employees, I had to make hard decisions. And the decisions that I recently made, while they're unattractive, they will set us up to be systemically financially healthy. And we still have some financial issues coming up. We're trying to comb through it every single day. But every time I peel this onion, there's some really bad decisions that are made. But we're going to get there. Ask this community to hang with me. Our teachers, our support staff, our leaders. You're doing a great job. Let me get this place in a, you know, on the right road where we can continue to accelerate Hillsboro every day.
Okay. So again, Addison Davis goes back and is blaming the prior administration. Now, to his credit, I will say that he did inherit some financial issues due to the fact that there were some things that were taking place that were not disclosed. And so I don't want to get too deep into that situation because there's some information that I received from a district employee. But if I share that information, it would identify that employee. And unfortunately, the way that the district is set up, it is very retaliatory and it does not foster a good environment to have these conversations. So therefore, I'm just going to say that follow the money. Now, I want to share my screen again. This is something that I have posted on the internet well before this interview, and this is following the money from their operating summary. Now, granted, there's transfers that come left and right. There's changes with that. But again, if you look at how there's changes in the fund balance for months at a time, you will see that there are some questions that should have been asked a while ago. So if I'm just scrolling through and you can see when they were approved and you can actually see the circles of where that fund balance is. Okay. And this was approved in April. Now, there should have been questions in April about the fund balance. Okay. We're going to keep going. And then this is June. This was approved in June. And I want you to look at the fund balance and how it's different. So there should have been alarm bells and conversations about where this money is going, because just looking at these reports, there needs to be some transparency about where the money is going. Again, I say that this is not a private entity. This is a public school system. And so we need transparency about it. So do I believe that some of Jeff Akin's decisions have something to do with the budget and how the totality of the circumstances has impacted this district? I mean, from, you know, Elia all the way to just the corruption of Hillsboro. Yes, there is definitely some holes where the money is. And this is why it is very important that we have a forensic audit. I've been stressing this for almost a year now about having a financial audit to really pinpoint where money is going, because there's a lot of gray areas, there's different categoricals, and there's a lot of things that's happening that is not transparent. And this is why I say transparency matters. And again, Superintendent Addison Davis, we're trying to find out where's the lie. So this was a question that was posed to him about the financial audit, and I want to roll the clip so you can hear what he said.
We had a Facebook person asked about a financial audit with the school board.
Yes, sir. And what we do have...
Hold on, Colin. Go ahead.
Yes, we do have... we had the Council of Great City Schools. They are supposedly updating their information that they provided us just to look at overall operations and procedures. If there's organizational controls, what the financials look like. We got some preliminary information, and it's all validating that we are potentially overstaffed, that we use soft money, which is grant money, and once that grant for people, once that grant money ended, we continue to pay those individuals with different categorical hard money, which is our general fund, which hurts us financially. And at the same time, while we've lost, we probably have around 31,000 students that are in charter schools, and over the years it keeps growing. 3,000 to 4,000 students leaving brick and mortar managed schools to go to charter schools, but we continue to keep the staff on payroll. And that's when students leave, you got to make adjustments. So we got to do a number of things, whether we've got to scale back and make certain we address the overages in staffing, or do the greatest marketing plan that we can to be able to bring our children back to our schools, so that we can have that funding to provide the necessary resources to be successful. Well, that should be forthcoming very soon.
So, okay. First of all, I just want to say thank you, Gail, for the stars, and I appreciate your support. And so let me just kind of remind you guys of the stars. I don't really promote it or really talk about it, but it's a cool way that Facebook has to monetize my work that I do with Teaching for the Culture. And so it is very helpful. So I receive a penny for each star. And so it was very easy for you to put your information on Facebook, especially if you donate to causes on Facebook. They probably already have your information, or you could link it to PayPal. but you can set and send stars during the program. And that basically helps me out in the work that I do. So I just want to say thank you, Gail, for your support. And for anyone that's interested in the stars, there is a feature there. And if you watch for a certain amount of time, it actually allows you to get free stars. So then you could send me free stars and I will still get a penny per star. So thank you, Gail. I appreciate you so much. Now, to Robin's point, and Robin was like, "Who? He's fast talking." Absolutely. This is something where he often talks fast, and you know, there's just a lot of questions about, you know, if he could just be a little bit more clear and not play games with semantics, or if it's intentional. And I don't know. All I know is that, you know, this stuff is on the record. This is receipts of what he said. And so when we talk about, you know, staff being over allocated, well, from my understanding was, you know, they had a Gibson report, and that Gibson report, it had shown that they were over allocated. And this was several years back when Addison Davis was nowhere near Hillsborough County or even considering the position at that time. And so what happened was, you know, they were cutting positions because they were over allocated. And there's a whole Tampa Bay Times article praising Akins for some of the cuts that he's done to keep our budget in flow. So I don't know what happened between that time where the article came out praising Akins and to now where we have all of these budget shortfalls, but this is why transparency matters. And this is why people need to ask questions and people need to be intentional with our public education system. Now, continue on with this interview, because now we've talked about the budget, we've talked about the financial audit, and although we did not get any clear answers on that financial audit and when that will be done, completed, and action items moving forward, I hope that people start asking questions, particularly the board members that are watching. Hello, good morning. I hope that you start asking for some pinpoint dates on when we can expect that financial audit, and ensuring that the people that are doing the audit do not have any stake in Hillsborough County Public Schools, due to the fact that we've had issues where people said that they were going to do consulting or, you know, do work for the district, but it was with a unfair advantage, and it was to the point where you wouldn't get work done because of your alliances. And so we need to make sure that we are intentional with making sure that we're having the right people doing these jobs so that it could be done with fidelity, and so that we can have transparency, because transparency is the new buzzword in the district. Accountability is the new buzzword. And you know, it's just so interesting that these words have become the new buzzwords, but we're not seeing the results. Okay. So we're going to continue. And then the next question was about the Trump rally. And so let's go ahead and cue up what his comments were, Addison Davis, about the Trump rally that was taking place on different campuses on Hillsborough County Public Schools property.
About the rough waters. Now, there was something that took place at some of the, I think it was Plain High School and some other places where they had a rally. A Trump rally. So I want to know, where do you stand on this rally, and what is your plans to ensure that the campuses are safe?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, first and foremost, we want to make certain that we're going to continuously provide a safe environment for every one of our learners, one that's inclusive, one that is not filled with bullying or harassment in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, as election day come, we've had emotions that are running high throughout this nation. And we had students on three particular campuses that decided that they would come in, whether it's on their vehicles, have flags on their vehicles, whether they would take pictures on their vehicles, and openly use Trump flags to signify their support. Immediately, our administrative staff saw it. They addressed it. You know, so they can make they engaged all of the students that were actively engaged and involved, and made them take those down, because we want to make certain that every one of our students can go to school and be disruptive free. I want the community to know this was not a sponsored event in any way, shape, or form by the district, by the school, by the school board, by the superintendent. This wasn't a rally. It was just students who they collectively decided this is the way they wanted to display their support for the current president. openly is a bad choice. And there's a fine line between what we can control as a school district related to being able to allow individuals to protect their First Amendment rights, but at the same time, in any way, shape, or form, if it becomes a disruption, we're going to address it and address it immediately. And hats off to the administrators. We appreciate community members that may have contacted me, my office, or the school's office to be able to make certain that they feel comfortable that these types of activities do not continue to spill over and make any individual feel comfortable at all. You know, one thing we don't do, we don't sponsor political acts. We don't, it's unauthorized and we'll.
So I just want to say thank y'all for the stars. I definitely see y'all in there with the stars, and I greatly appreciate you. Okay, we're going to clear up this thing once and for all. So, of course, you know, I don't share everything, right? So, okay. So this whole rally happened, okay? And the fact that he is saying that it's not a rally is beyond me. The kids said it was a rally. So when the news inquired about this situation, the district communicated that, number one, it was not a rally. Number two, that there was no complaints that were ever filed about this situation, which was a lie. And then number three, they said that the kids came and they just had their flags, that it wasn't a disruption on campus. Now, this is what they told the media when the media inquired about it, because they saw my video on social media. There's some news people that follow me, and some of them are actually members of my Patreon, and they get information and they vet to see if they want to actually cover it as a story or not. Like, this is something that's real. So they saw the video and they immediately contacted the district and they got the runaround. That article should have been out about the Trump rally. It should have been out. But the issue was the district was not being quick enough to respond with fidelity. And then when they did respond, they were not being truthful. So I want to put this to bed, because Addison Davis, yes, allegedly he had told them to put the flags down. And there's another clip that I didn't show y'all that happened after the fact. So after the whole rally was shut down, and then when school was ending, there was another incident that happened at the school. In fact, the principal basically was telling the people who recorded the video that when they put stuff on social media, it blows things out of control. And so that is the culture. That is the problem. Y'all are upset because there's a video out here of this behavior instead of addressing the behavior. So let's go ahead and play the clip, because again, I want to put it to bed, but I want it to be truthful, because I don't understand why.
You really think someone would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies?
Where's the lie? Where's the lie? So let's play the clip.
So they standing on their trucks. It's more cars coming inside of Plant High School with their flags on. Y'all just watch this. Watch this now. This is look at the kids coming into the school now with their Trump flags on their vehicles. They're having their own Trump rally at Plant High School. This is the craziest, by far the craziest thing ever. Now, mind you, these are minors.
That's how they're driving.
These are minors, literally. They are driving with their flags on at the school, blowing their horns and everything at Hillsborough County Public Schools now. This is insane. Like, how are y'all able to do all of this? Now, look at this. Look at this foolishness. They blowing horns and everything.
Man, they doing donuts in the parking lot.
The principal watching, Tamika. Literally watching.
They doing donuts in the parking lot. Like, that. They can't even vote.
They driving super fast inside the school and everything.
Look at the teachers recording.
And the teachers, even the teachers recording.
They like that kind of stuff.
Even the teachers recording.
That is great. Look at him. He's smiling. He loves it. He's smiling and everything.
All the teachers smiling and everything. They like this. Now, mind you, this is what's going on at Plant High School, y'all. They is literally having their own Trump rally at Plant High School.
He came out his classroom to record.
That these kids took it upon themselves, y'all, to have their own pep. They having their own Trump rally at Plant High School.
They can't even vote.
They ain't even old enough to vote at all. But this is what the kids doing. They done gathered together to do all of this right here, y'all, at Plant High School. Y'all hear them blowing the horns? Everybody got their own opinion to who they want to vote for. But at the end of the day, this is Hill County Public Schools. Why are you at the school with this right here? This doesn't make any sense.
They can't even vote.
I'm confused. Now, something got to give with these kids able to do this right here at the school. This doesn't make any sense. But everybody walking around, all the teachers recording, all of the kids joining in. Y'all see them with their flags and everything. Crazy.
This thing got blurry on me real quick. Recalibrate. So, but then there was another video. Okay. Now, first of all, I posted a snippet. Now this bothered me, y'all. Hold on. Maybe. I don't know. Sorry, y'all. Sorry, I'm blurry. So there was another video after the fact. Like after school ended, there was another video. And I didn't share that with y'all because, again, I felt that it should have been addressed. And so when we have, you know, Addison Davis on the record saying that it was handled immediately, no, there was people that called, there was people that complained, there was parents that picked up their children because they were in fear. Like that was a real thing. So there was actually parents that came to pick up their child due to this incident that happened at Plant particularly. And so again, I just want to just show you something of what happened after the fact. In fact, I'm going to actually share my audio with you. So therefore, you can actually hear the principal. There's an African-American principal that works at Plant. And I want you to hear what he had to say about misinformation on social media.
Y'all see him just pulled in. Bianca, you see him? How they just pulling in with them? Now they was told earlier to not do it, but now they back at the school doing it. So they all meeting back up.
There's campus security right there.
Yeah, they got school security here too, Bianca. So I don't know if it's going to get too out of hand, but I know they had sent school security over here.
Right there.
Oh, no, that's a real police officer right there. Yeah, that's the real police officer that be here.
There's a police officer here.
But these kids don't care. They're going to do whatever they want to do over here. Yes. Yes, Bianca, it is. That's what they do over here, though. They speed. They don't care how they drive over here.
Yeah, you blocked off, so you got to turn and go another way. And he getting ready to get out and move the cones.
I just want to see how many of them going to put their flags back out when the school hour end.
They all get ready to come with it, watch.
And honestly, Bianca, it's mostly the baseball team, just the FYI.
Tell them to get off campus. But here's the thing you do instead of videotaping and making us, you know, just come tell us about it, we'll just tell them to move. And this morning, the situation was this morning, if we were to start dealing with all those kids there, you'd have a lot of kids around. So we waited for them to go to class. We called them out. We told them they had to leave kids.
Oh, okay.
But it's not, you know, it's social media just makes everything look worse than what it is.
Mm.
So if you tell us that Mr. Bush, they should be on your campus.
But see, this is the thing, though. They were standing right there the whole time when they seen this. But nobody.
They ain't come out.
But there again.
But you see what I'm saying?
All right. No, but
I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, just, you know, if you go to them, like, if we go in and we go talking to them right then and there, then they get all.
But you know what? That man went and told them earlier. You know what the red truck did? The red truck left and he came right back. But when that man pulled off, he came right back.
You a part of a sports team and you're not supposed to be condoning stuff like that.
They don't even let us wear shirts. We can't wear shirts. We can't wear masks. We can't do no. We can't talk about politics at all. So at the end of the day, the kids shouldn't be able to do none of this on campus neither.
But here's the thing. Some of them do vote. But here's the thing, though. You have it's not like you can just run them off campus. You have to give it a chance. Like this morning, we get them on campus because I didn't want to create a big crowd. So we got them on campus. They said, okay, guys, now we're going to let you guys. You brought them all in, so you're disturbing our campus. You got to go.
But then they still come right back.
The same thing.
So yeah, again, do we suspend them? And as you create more, we just keep pushing them off campus, picking our battles. I'm telling you, you get me on tape. Too much of this stuff don't make me just say, here's my keys. I got 30.
That's why I just see you later. All right. Y'all sent him home early, but they came back.
Man, let me tell you something. I don't care what he's talking about and what he's saying. Y'all ain't trying to do nothing this morning. Y'all sat there and watched them kids. I don't want to hear that. Don't sit there and ask me why I'm recording. First of all, they don't supposed to be doing it. Y'all so-called supposed to have to deal with what the superintendent said, and y'all did not do none of the above. Y'all sat here and let these kids do whatever they want to do. So with that being said, whatever.
There's more, but I'm gonna just save that. So I go back to the Trump rally situation that Addison Davis claimed that it's not a rally and how he addressed it immediately. Well, as you can hear what the principal said about this situation. And like I said, there's more. So this is what I'm going to say about the situation. First of all, sir, people lie, receipts don't. And you need to have your receipt book and have your receipts. And we're just trying to figure out where the lie is and where the misinformation is coming from. Because literally, she posted this on social media and ensured that I was able to see it. She was talking to me on the live when it was happening. Hello. So this is what I'm going to say about it. So we can't say that we address things promptly. We can't say that we're handling everything with fidelity. Literally, the principal said that because it was on social media, that it made it a bigger deal than what it was. And I don't know about you, but this is a really big deal, especially because there was children that was texting their parents to say, hey, can you come get me? I don't feel safe at school. That was a real thing. So at the end of the day, we could play games with semantics. We can play these games of not being transparent and not operate with integrity and telling the whole circumstances. But it's just so interesting, Addison Davis, because with all of that, you decide that you wanted to throw shade in your interview. So let's go ahead and play that.
And Bianca, before you go, we want to say hats off to you. Thank you, teacher in the culture. Bianca has been out here on the forefront. Yeah, she's been beaten up, torn up on Facebook, attacked, but she has never lost sight of the fact this is about the children. So go ahead, sir. But I just want to say publicly, thank you, Bianca.
Thank you, Bianca.
April Cobbs, the whole team. We say thank you. Hats off to y'all because you made brought awareness to a lot of things that people didn't know, Superintendent. And we appreciate them. So go ahead and answer questions.
Yes, ma'am. And you know what? I look forward to the true advocacy along the way for education, and we can get some actual positive movement. And you know, as you know, I know that people get hammered on social media, and sometimes it's a lot of it's unfair and inaccurate. So I look forward to really telling the true story, so we can really genuinely do some great things for kids and work side by side. But overall, I don't disagree with Bianca. And when me coming in, and Bianca can validate this, looking at the executive team and senior team, there wasn't a lot of individuals of color on that team. And I brought a really sophisticated, intelligent, diverse, richly diverse team to be able to show and give a sense of hope for individuals that come into leadership positions. And I've done that with the principalship, and I would say the majority of principals that I've hired since I've been here have been individuals of color, whether they're Hispanic or Black, the majority Black. And but I don't disagree with Bianca related to our hiring practices. We've got to get better. We've got to make certain that the student body that we serve, that the employees that we hire have the same percentage of the student body, look just like them.
Yes.
And because that way we understand the culture relativeness, the connections, the have a better understanding what children are going through. And we've got to hit the doors that are, go out to, historically Black colleges and universities and show. And when they have graduations, they walk across the stage, we should have Hillsborough County table sitting right there to be able to invite them and show them yes. This is a place that we can connect. Mm-hmm. But we've got to do a better job creating a longer, stronger bench. And, my track record speaks for itself related to hiring diverse, individuals and making certain that we have cultural curriculums within our schools. So I'm open to making certain that we hold our teams accountable for making that a reality and, focusing on it every single day. But if we don't create an environment where individuals feel that they can apply, if they feel that they're going to be valued, that they can come to work, then we're going to lose some really highly competent, skilled leaders. And I hate to see here that Ms. Kimbleton is in Philadelphia. I would love to have a conversation with her. And I'm sorry I've been dealing with a pandemic, but, because she has the right mind, she has the right energy to do some really special things. Yes. So, I look forward for all of us genuinely, if we're here for kids, rolling up our sleeves and figuring out together, let's be a part of the solution. And I'm committed to Hillsborough, I'm committed to the
Okay, first of all, Superintendent, so I've attempted to call you because you had reached out to Bishop Patty during that interview and you had wanted to speak with me. I've called you several times. I've left you voicemails. I'm not going to keep calling you. What we're not going to do is we're not going to do that. So you're upset and you feel as though we need to work together, although I have made public calls for your resignation. And that is with all good intention and with receipts. And I understand that you might not like the fact that I am calling on your resignation. I feel as though we just need to go ahead and pay those 10 weeks and move along and find a new leader that can operate in three principles: accountability, transparency, and integrity. And I totally get the fact that, you came in during interesting times, but it's what you do in that leadership role during that time that is what we're talking about. So we're talking about how we've played games with semantics. We're talking about how there's educators that don't feel safe to talk. There is educators and principals and district admin that are fearful of you, that are actually secretly recording you, sir. And I can't do anything with those recordings legally, sir, because that would be against the law. I cannot take a recording that is done without consent and put it on my radio show. You would come after me, sir. But guess what? These employees are so fearful and scared of your behavior, your patterns, and what you do in this district office. So it's just quite interesting how we want to talk about what true advocacy is and about how there's misinformation on the internet. But sir, I'm trying to figure out where is the lie. Yeah. Okay. Now, if I misspoke and I said something wrong, please hold me accountable to that. Please give me the receipts and let's have a conversation. I've been there. I've talked about it. And just like when we had a previous school board member that always said that I was lying about them and this, that, and the third. And I would say, well, sis, if I'm lying about you, please provide me the receipts. Sis never provided me any receipts. So, sir, I'm asking you that if there's any lies or mistruth that have came from me personally, I want you to hold me accountable for that so that I can update people accordingly. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to play games and say that, there's people that, just talk on Facebook and this, that, and the third. Let's get even deeper. Let's get even deeper with the shade.
we have to do this together. So oftentimes that we're pulling at each other, and this is the problem with public education. We get individuals to go out there on Facebook and they tell inaccurate information at Groeslick, and they just try to continue to stifle the work of public education. And this is the reason why we lose kids every single day. And when you lose kids, you lose employees, because the kids do go, the money goes. And we need true individuals that are true advocates about the work, not just sitting out there telling everything that's wrong, but being solution oriented and figuring out how they're going to genuinely help roll their sleeves up and help us do great things. Titus O'Neill, Thaddeus Willard, whatever you want to call him, true advocate, sees the problem, wants to get in the school and help the problem. Individuals who sit behind a keyboard and want to talk about, you know, not having or, you know, evolving or things, it's easy to tell us what we're doing wrong. It's hard to be at the table and talk about solutions, and I welcome anybody who wants to do that and do great things.
And you know, and I want to thank Mr. O'Neill personally, because once he's out here, he was attacked on Facebook. They was trying to make him to be a sexual predator, all kind of things. But he still stayed the course. I don't know where I want to get a talk to him personally, find out where he's taking, because the man is all over the place. But his love for children, because his mom was raped at 12. I think 11 had him at 12, and he's steady giving back. And it's just mind-boggling that people would attack. Yeah, we might not agree, but that's because we're made differently. But we should be able to talk to each other and work things out, rather than it be on this Facebook and we look at our children looking at the ignorance that's going on with grown people and people who sit at a diocese that overlook the children.
Okay, first of all, it's one thing to continue to perpetuate narratives that people are not doing things because you don't actually see what's being done, or maybe they only share certain things into the light. But if you look at my track record, if you look at my pattern, I am a true advocate. And the fact that you're upset, Addison Davis, because I have clearly have stated and shown with receipts that you're not a credible person to lead this organization. Don't get upset with me and don't try to throw shots on the radio as if that's going to sit well, okay? So first of all, sir, I just want to be very clear, okay? I understand that you watch the episodes. There's different avenues that people watch the show, whether they watch it on Facebook, they watch it on YouTube, or they listen to it in a podcast version that is syndicated on a lot of different channels, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We have Stitcher. We have Amazon Music. I mean, the list goes on and on, sir. So when we talk about things that are going wrong, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not solution driven. And I think that these are these narratives that have been plaguing public education, that you can't talk about the bad, that we only have to talk about the good. And so there is some great things that I talk about that the district does all the time, and not just Hillsborough County, but Pinellas and Manatee. For example, when finally we decided to target, you know, our minority communities, especially because they're the majority in Hillsborough County Public Schools. And now you have a dedicated Spanish network where you can communicate with families that do not speak English. I think that that is a wonderful initiative, and I'm glad that we're doing that, because we need to target the majority of the people that we serve. Or when you have Dr. Stacey Hahn, and she is fearlessly working with literacy and having different events around the Tampa Bay area. I applaud her for that. Miss Karen Perez, when she talks about her mental health and when she talks about the mental health of children and when she brings that perspective to the light, when we focus on children, I talk about that. So I don't necessarily just talk about the bad things with the district, but when, you know, there's corruption happening, when there's people that are whistleblowing about the injustice and the things that are happening on school campuses, when we continue to lie and not be transparent to parents, and you're setting up their children in some dangerous dangers and unsafe environments that they have no knowledge of. That's, my friend, is where people get upset and they get all bunched up in their feelings. And I'm not here for your feelings. I'm not here for the shade. I'm here for our children. And unfortunately, there's children going missing because they're shooting each other in our neighborhoods. Our kids are going missing because they are being sent to prison and they are being targeted. There's a whole investigation that just came out in the Tampa Bay Times about Pasco and how Pasco school district and the sheriff's office have a relationship on how they target children. It is a real thing, and I'm gonna post the link so that you can read it. And if you think that that is just happening in Pasco, think again. Hillsborough County leads the state in sending children to prison. So when we talk about these issues that's happening in the school district, don't think and act like that because I'm talking about your leadership, that it's not true advocacy. When I'm talking about what you have done and what you have said and the semantics that you play often, Superintendent Addison Davis, don't get upset with me. Get upset with the receipts. You are literally on record saying conflicting information several times. And so the question still remains, sir, what is the status on the MERV 13 filters and what is the financial cost of the district? Because if you go to one media source, they have one amount. And if you go to another media source, it's a different amount. I've highlighted this in one of my previous episodes. Again, if that is highlighting what's wrong, then that might be your issue. But the issue is that this is not your money. You need to be transparent about the money that's being spent, especially if we're talking about for our children. Our children are being so left behind, especially the students that are doing e-learning in certain communities where they do not have functioning Wi-Fi. The digital divide is real. It's something that I highlighted in season one when I was doing Morning Teen Allegations, where I actually showed a map of different coverage areas based on zip codes. Internet speeds vary by zip codes. So this significantly, disproportionately affects our children of color, especially when they're trying to learn and educate themselves, especially in communities that are toxic and are full of trauma. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to go back and forth with you throwing shade because you're upset and you're in your feelings about what I said. I said what I said. I said that I feel that you do not need to be the superintendent of the third largest school district in the state and the seventh largest in the nation. That is my opinion. And in my disclaimer, I'm going to play it again because I need people to understand that what I say is what I say. And again, I want you to read the word. And I want you to listen to what I say in my disclaimer so that all hearts and minds are clear. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Teen Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. The views and opinions on Morning Teen Allegations belong to me and to me only. And it does not impact any other individuals that are linked with Teaching for the Culture in any way, shape, or form, which there's different avenues to be connected with Teaching for the Culture. Either it's a staff member or a community partner or a community liaison or just a network. And I need people to understand that what we're not going to do is we're not just going to be cheerleading the district and saying, yes, look at all the amazing things that they're doing. Because I want you to hear me clear that there are some amazing things that the district is doing, but there's also some things that the district is not doing, and they're not doing it well, particularly with literacy. So when Addison Davis was on the record saying that, you know, he brought a rich, diverse team to be on his cabinet, he actually did. And I applauded him for those efforts. However, there were some employees that were moved into positions that are not qualified to be in said positions. So I could say, yes, you did wonderful by adding diversity to your cabinet. However, you had a person who was a resource teacher in the science department, now over literacy in the third largest district, where we have a list, where we have the most schools on that list, because we're lacking in reading and literacy skills. It is the lowest 300 list. And then there's another list that I keep talking about, and that is the persistently low performing school list. And we also lead that list too. So when we talk about issues and having real conversations, it requires to have real conversations, because what I'm not going to do is say, yes, Addison Davis brought the most people that were equipped for the job here. No, he did not, because he brought in some people that are not even qualified or certified in the roles that they're in. And that's the issue that I have. So at the end of the day, you could be upset and you could have an issue and all of that being said, but there's teachers that, you know, don't have their First Amendment rights. There's teachers that have been able to try to speak out and they have been retaliated against. They have been told not to speak, or they have been invited to, you know, Addison Davis' new committee, you know, to try to circumvent the, you know, Hillsborough County Teachers Association. So look, all I'm going to say is I have no issues with you personally, Addison Davis, but when we talk about our children, I speak facts. And if I said something or I misspoke about something, then let me know. Hold me accountable to that. So that way I can educate the people that follow and watch this programming, because there's people that watch and follow this programming. And you knew that. You knew that before you got here, sir, because I told you, sir, when you got here, about my receipt book. So we were all clear about my role and what I do and how I advocate. And it might be different than what people have seen in the past. But guess what? That advocacy has helped to now we actually have educators on the school board. There has been more participation in the school board race than ever before. And I'm so thankful for that. And all of the endorsed candidates of Teaching for the Culture in the general election won their race. Our children are winning. And so, sir, Addison Davis, if you want to have a conversation again, I open to it. I'm not going to keep calling you, sir. I've attempted to call you since Saturday when you spoke to Bishop Patty and said you want to work with me. But see, the thing is that I'm calling on the board members to do what's right and to get rid of you, because you have not been transparent. You have not been honest, and you have been playing games with some vital people that are in the district. And there's some things that I know about that I can't say, because again, I say that the district employees trust me enough to call me and tell me things about what's happening in the district. And so if organization leader likes a whistleblower, then that means I'm not doing my job right. That means that I'm not doing what's right. If you love what I do and you love everything that I say, that means I'm not doing my job right. I am holding the district accountable for the issues that's taking place. And I'm so sorry that it feels like it's fire after fire after fire, but this is what's been happening on the backs of our children. And enough is enough. Enough. So with that being stated, I wish Addison Davis well. I'm going to continue to make calls for his resignation. And if for some reason the board decides to keep him, I'm still going to hold him accountable and hold his feet to the fire to doing what he says he's going to do, although hasn't really been doing that. And look, I get it. It's a pandemic. But again, there's issues with the money that, you know, we just need to have Akins at the table, and we need to have, you know, Addison at the table. And let's just have a conversation with all these leaders to figure out and pinpoint where this money is. We need to have these conversations for the greater good of the taxpayers and the greater good of our children, because our children are missing out on resources because we're cutting guidance counselors. We're cutting psychologists. And while we talk about psychologists, you know, we actually lead the state. Okay, for not having the appropriate ratio. So again, there's a lot of issues at play here. And so we can't always talk about the great things that the district is doing. Well, when we see our communities, you literally have a charter school network that is pretty much in every community in East Tampa now that's talking bad about the neighborhood schools. So this is just where we're at. And we're going to have more schools that will be taken over because guess what? We are not talking about the ramifications of continuing this FSA and, you know, the standardized testing and the EOCs and what that's going to look like. And you do realize that some of the children that walked across the stage really technically don't have enough credits. And so, yeah, did they walk across the stage? Yeah, but they didn't get enough credits to finish out. So they technically don't have their high school diploma. Like, these are real things that are happening right now. And so I just want people to be intentional. And so, again, if I said anything that was incorrect, please hold me accountable to that. I embrace that. I want that just due to the fact that it holds me true to what I've been called to do. And you might not understand it, but the journey is not for you to understand. It is what it is. And I'm not going anywhere. It is basically advocacy for our children in Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Manatee County. And again, I just had a close eye on Hillsborough because I worked in the organization and there was a lot of things that I could not bring to light because I was actually an employee. And now that I no longer receive checks from Hillsborough County, I can bite the hand that feeds me. I said that wrong. I felt growing up that I could not bite the hand that feeds me. And so now that Hillsborough County does not feed me, I'm able to hold them accountable and to say what I need to say. And so I'm quoted saying that years ago in an article with Marlene Sokol about how I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me. Like, it's literally there. You can Google it. And you can Google the journey and how I ended up here. And so I thank y'all for the stars. I thank y'all for the love of Teaching for the Culture. Next Friday, we will be still celebrating Thanksgiving. So I will not be on live next Friday. So I will be back in December. And so I just appreciate you guys. You guys have a safe and wonderful holiday. You guys have a safe and wonderful weekend today. And just really enjoy yourself. And I go back to my last episode from last week about the master reset. And it's an opportunity to really change the game. And I go back and I stress this. What are the pieces that you're willing to contribute to help this situation? At some point, the community was not aware of some of these issues. And now that there's clear voice around it now, what are you going to do about it? We have a literacy crisis that's happening in our communities. And so I encourage folks to read, model the behavior. Please do not tell your children to read, but they don't actually see you read. It's very counterproductive in how you want to move your children and be inspirations to your children, because if they're not looking up to you, best believe they're looking up to someone else. And I'm pretty sure it's probably someone on social media if they have it. So I go back to parents, please check the cell phone. If you would not allow strangers to just come up into your home, why do you allow your child to have full access to the internet and don't know who your children are talking to? Real stuff. If you haven't seen The Social Dilemma, I'm going to keep talking about it. Please go watch it. It is a phenomenal series on Netflix, and it opens your eyes to this algorithm. And there's children that actually feel depressed because they don't have enough likes on photos. It's a real thing. And it's impacting children in a really dangerous way, where their self-esteem is being tied to an algorithm. That's where we're at right now. And so when we see the numbers of, you know, children spiking in suicide, and we say, oh, it's because we have to reopen schools. It doesn't necessarily mean that reopening schools is why this is happening. There's a deeper level to that. And it's because they are more connected now than ever to technology, to social media, to these apps. And some of them are harming our children. So with that being stated, I hope that you guys have a great weekend again. And I love you and thank you for supporting me and my movement. Special shout out to my Patreons. Thank y'all for keeping me grounded in this work. And I just love y'all so much. And again, I welcome any conversation. So again, I put my information publicly on the internet for people to reach me. But my telephone number is 813-400-3311. And my email address is Bianca@ at teachingfortheculture.com. So I welcome it. Let me know how I could be better in this work or what I can do different in this work. But I just want to be very clear that this is about the kids. It always has, always will. And I won't be dealing with too much more shade from Addison Davis just because his feelings are hurt, because I feel as though he no longer needs to serve Hillsborough based on the totality of the circumstances of what's been taking place in the district. So with that being stated, I've said that maybe 5 times already. I love y'all. I'm rambling. Y'all have a great weekend and I'll see y'all later. Peace.
Please keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business.